All right. What is this and that podcasting podcast? With my day is Tuesday, January 21st, 2025.
What's going on, Alex? What's going on? How's your week?
Man, it's not been great. I mean, with the week review coming up, obviously, got to talk about the, you know, the big game that just happened. I'm no longer drinking.
Shit that went down last night.
Blueberry Kool-Aid, the thing that went down last night on Monday. Got a lot to talk about with the week coming up. Got some NFL playoffs to keep talking about. Also got some gut predictions. Got some fantasy focus upon your request, talking about some QBs for the fantasy season coming up. Got some gambling men. Got a three-leg parlay on my side due to a request in a same-game parlay as well. See how that goes for me. And then we'll bring it all home with the Homeward Bound at the end of the show. So with the week in review, I got to start it off with just, you know, biting the bullet and saying that the Washington Commanders took down my Detroit Lions 45-31 on Saturday.
Rough game for you Detroiters.
Very, very rough game. Don't understand why we are drawing up a weird pass play from Jameson, to Gibbs down 10 points.
I'm okay with the play call.
I'm fine with the play call.
I'm fine with the play call. Just don't throw it. If it's not there, don't throw it.
But that's
the play call's right. No one had an issue with him running a reverse literally the couple plays before for a touchdown. It's the same play, but
he
can throw it.
Yeah.
So it's like just don't throw it at that point. Just throw it away.
Man, or just run the ball.
Yeah, or just run it. Like, yeah.
Just run it. Like, that's what I'm trying to get to myself.
I like the aggressiveness. Just don't force it. Don't force the throw if it's not there.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
It's a tough game. Tough game.
Very tough game for the Lions. Definitely a tough ending to a very good season. You know, the whole NFC North goes 0-3 in the playoffs, and so now we're just, I guess, you know.
The NFC North was the SEC this year.
Yeah.
Choked in the playoffs.
Just choked. Choked everywhere.
Choked.
And then the number two game picked for me, which also ended up in the top five. I went 2-for-5 this week. Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens. Bills beat the Ravens 27-25. It was a very good game. You know, little rock fight there. A little bit of defense too. You know, it's not all high scoring, but it seemed that way. Just, you know, from beginning to end, it seemed
tough. Tough ending, but
yeah,
I was happy for the Bills. I wanted to see the Bills Lions, but can't control it all. At least you get one of them in.
Yeah, but they got one more hurdle to get over, which is the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Super Bowl, basically.
Yeah. My number three was Alabama, Kentucky, which also ends up in the top five. Alabama beating Kentucky 102-97. A very good game put up there by the Kentucky Wildcats. But not enough to beat Alabama down there in Tuscaloosa, unfortunately. But
It's one I like to put on Moneyline because Alabama, coming off a loss, I like them winning this game.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
Yeah, it was Alabama's bounce-back week, and like we've been saying earlier, it's tough to get a win in the SEC on the road.
Yep.
And then at my number four, I had the Detroit Red Wings and the Florida Panthers game. Red Wings win 5-2. I don't know if that's enough to keep it up there in the actual top five because hockey games, usually if you get them in the top five, they're more of a 1-2 game, you know, two-goal game. But obviously the fifth goal came off of an empty netter.
Yeah, so. I had them in my top five and actual top five just for how the game was played. It was a very close game until the end.
Yeah.
So.
It literally took you to the third period at the end of the day. Like, they were tied up all the way up until the Red Wings got their 2-goal lead, and then Florida just couldn't find their way back into the game from then on.
Yep, it was close all the way in the third period. So, yeah, my the five I had, so kind of similar. I was like 2 for 5, 3 for 5-ish. The ones that I think I called right, Ravens-Bills, like we just talked about, very close game. It was kind of what I expected out of that game, and which is what I'm going to expect out of the Bills and Chiefs coming up. My other winner I think I had was Alabama-Kentucky, like you. I also had that game in my top five, and it definitely ended up being a top five game. And then one that I'm iffy on, like you said, the Red Wings-Panthers, I had them in mind. I'll consider it maybe just a wash at least, but it was a fun game. It was an exciting game. Detroit basically just scored all their goals on the power play. It's the only way they could score against the Panthers, so you would like to see them score more in the regulation, but or not regulation, but 5-on-5, not just special teams. But overall, in all, it was a good game all the way up to the end. The two I missed on, I'm gonna say Detroit Commanders does not. I'm sorry, Detroit. That was not a good game. It was kind of a blowout at halftime, and then it was just Detroit trying to play catch up. So
yep, totally agree there.
Yeah, I was disappointed in that one. I was hoping for a little bit closer game at the start and not having to play catch up the whole time. But the my last one I had was Kansas-Iowa State. I thought it was going to be a really close game, but it turned out Iowa State just pumped the brakes on them and destroyed them. So not deserving of my actual top five, which I had Ravens-Bills, like we said, Alabama-Kentucky, Detroit-Panthers. My other two I had was the Auburn beating Georgia on the road 70-68, because that's really hard to do in the SEC, especially a ranked opponent.
Yep, and I had that in my actual top five games as well, because with Georgia putting up that kind of fight at home against the number two team, it's definitely something of a win.
And it was a ranked matchup. So, and like we talked about a couple weeks ago on the podcast, it was road teams in the SEC are hard to win. So that was a big win for them, and it was a close game. So it deserved to be a top five game. My other one was a top 10 team going down, and that was Marquette losing to Xavier 59-57. And that was also on the road for Xavier. So looks good for Michigan's resume, because we beat Xavier and we needed them to start winning some games. But this was a close game all the way to the finish, and it ended up being a upset where the number 7 team goes down.
Yep. So the only two games that I didn't mention on my side, which the fifth one out of my picked, was the Ohio State Notre Dame game. Ohio State winning 34-23, but I don't think that ends up in the actual top five. The one that does end up in that actual top five outside of what we've already talked about was the Mississippi State Ole Miss game. That game goes into overtime. Both games highly ranked in the ACC. Mississippi State comes out on top 84-81. In overtime, beating Ole Miss, which they were the better ranked team. And yeah, that's a deserving to me to be in the top five, actual top five.
Yeah, absolutely. That game definitely deserved to be in there.
And which that leans into my honorable mentions, Purdue beating Oregon, both top 10 teams, top 25 teams,
big on the road.
A road Big Ten game for Purdue to win in Oregon, 65-58. That's a big win for Purdue, for sure.
It kind of tossed things up around in the Big Ten now, because that's everyone's kind of just neck and neck in there in those top 10 teams. So that was a big win for Purdue. My honorable mention is another SEC game, and it was Vandy upsetting Tennessee 76-75. Home game for Vandy, but no one saw this one coming. Everybody would have thought Tennessee was going to kind of wipe the floor off with Vandy on this one. But Vandy stuck in there and handed them their loss on the road. That was a big, big loss for Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee had the 11-point lead at halftime and lost.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
Losing an 11-point lead against a subpar, not really good SEC team.
Yeah.
And then losing. Yeah, that one hurt.
Yeah. Gut reactions, Commanders can win it all. I think it's going to be a repeat of 1991. I mean, guess who they beat in the NFC Championship and then won to win it all?
Yep.
And guess who they had to play in the Super Bowl and won it all? I mean, it's the other team that we don't want.
I could see it. They got a good quarterback, and your defense is playing good.
Yeah, they got to get over that hurdle of Philadelphia. So, and then my other gut reaction.
I think they can handle him.
My other gut reaction to this week, Michigan still won the game.
Yeah, they did.
Michigan won the championship. I mean, who still won the game? Who won the championship? I mean, who still won the game?
It's like Woody Hayes. You can't consider what he said back in the day. You can't consider yourself a national championship champion unless you beat Michigan.
Nope.
Sorry, Ohio State.
Nope, you can't.
But
you can't
look on the bright. Look, congratulations to Ohio State. On the bright side, it stays in the Big Ten. That's back-to-back wins in the Big Ten. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe next year it's a Michigan or Oregon or Penn State. Just keep it rolling in the Big Ten at least.
It's going to keep rolling, hopefully.
Yeah. And then my gut reactions are Bills Chiefs. Here we go again. Basically the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I really hope Bills pull this off. I think the entire world is rooting for Josh Allen. So it's going to be another one. My gut reactions last week was Bills and Ravens are going to be game of the year, and it held up to it. It was an awesome game to watch. Hopefully my prediction on this one, my gut reaction on this one is going to last also. And Bills Chiefs, basically another Super Bowl type game. My second is the SEC basketball is going to hurt themselves come Selection Sunday. They are just going to beat the crap out of each other. All these Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, they're just going to keep beating each other. Even these teams are going to beat each other.
That's what happens when you get a top-heavy conference. Like, they just beat up on each other. It's just how the ACC was back in the 90s and the early 2000s. It's just like you get all these really good teams, but once you come to conference play, you're just beating each other up. And then, you're not going to have teams where you want them to be.
They realistically could have like 4-1 seeds, but that's not going to happen because they're just going to beat each other. So you're going to have maybe like 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, somewhere in there, and then maybe an 8-9 mixed in. But, we'll see. It comes Selection Sunday. It's going to be an interesting tournament this year. I think there's a lot more parity in basketball the last 2 years. Well, actually more this year than last year because everybody pretty much expected UConn to win it all when it came down to the tournament.
Yep.
I don't think this year has that, like, the team. I was going to say Auburn or Tennessee, but they kind of looked weak here the last few weeks. So,
that'll be interesting. Yeah, all teams are getting exposed right now within the SEC, especially the Florida Gators, the team that I work for. Like, we're sitting there and we're just like, oh, we're getting exposed left and right by these teams that, it's just how conference play gets. It's like you're great.
It's the same in the Big Ten. Big Ten beats each other up. It's
Doesn't
seem as bad this year as it was in the years past. But it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be a fun Selection Sunday, fun tournament this year.
Yeah, it will be. All right, and that takes us into our entertainment segment where we talk about the NFL playoffs. So, my question is, which championship round game could more likely be an upset? I've actually got both. I'm picking both of them to be an upset, but which one is more likely to be an upset?
I feel like since you only have two games here.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's harder to pick.
It has to be the Commanders just because the Bills Chiefs game, I don't even look like either team's an upset. I feel like that's just a watch. Like, that's
like
a
it's like,
coin. I don't know who's going to win that game. It could go either way. Commanders, I see being the underdog in this one. Like, not heavy, but the spread is like 6.5, so they are definitely the underdogs in this one. And I could see them surprising and beating Eagles. Eagles haven't really looked that great in the playoffs. Saquon Barkley's looked amazing, and that's about it.
Yep.
He's like, Jalen Hurts hasn't looked good. So
He's hurt too.
He's hurt.
Yeah.
Washington, the Commanders have looked good. They have looked really good in these playoffs, and Jaden Daniels is playing lights out. So I could easily see a Commanders upset.
Yeah. So, you had a question. I'd like you to ask that question. I put that question on my side so I can answer it too.
Yeah, so my question is, should they starting next year, make personal fouls reviewable? Answer, yes.
Now, I'm going to ask the question back just because I'm not a football fanatic, and I might be asking for those who are not very into what a personal foul is compared to any other foul that happens out on the my question is this personal foul like a 15-yard penalty? Because if it is a 15-yard penalty, I say yes. Yeah. Because the thing is
personal foul is an unnecessary roughness, roughing the passer, Basically, those are your two 15-yarders. It's roughing the passer and unnecessary roughness, typically, are your two 15-yarders.
Okay.
And those are, and, yeah, and I agree, those are two easy plays that can easily be reviewable and recall, because those determined games, and it did in that Chiefs-Texans game. That was huge, two huge penalties they called against the Texans.
So it's a really good thing I asked this question, because on my side, I just said 15-yard penalties only, because I did. Oh, yeah. I'm just like,
Yeah. So, yeah, just those dead ball, not dead ball, but just the personal fouls, the unnecessary roughness, whether he got hit late out of bounds or if it was roughing the passer, was it actually roughing the passer? Yeah. Easy stuff you can review and don't have to reward teams for no reason or people diving all the time. So, like, yeah, I agree. I think they should go and review it. It will take no more time than it, or like any other stupid review they do.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah. And it takes the game out of the ref's hands. The refs can't just control the game left and right. I'm like, oh, we're just going to throw a flag here, and then next time we're not going to throw a flag. So, yeah, I think we both agree on that.
Yep, definitely. Like, I totally agree. Like, because I was wondering, like, what would a 10-yard penalty be considered? Like, if that's not, like, a personal foul, or what do they normally call it? Like, they call it, like, a
– just holding. Just that's it.
Like, holding's, like, the only 10-yard penalty out there.
Yeah, just, like, holding, and then – holding is really the only 10-yarder in the NFL, and then, yeah, basically false starts and offsides. Yeah. Like, those are fine.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the big first down, the 15-yarders. The personal foul should be reviewable.
Okay.
You already reviewed targeting, so why not, like in college, so why not just review all of the personal foul penalties?
Yep. I mean, that's the same thing. Like, you're at the end of the day, you're protecting the defense from having to give up that many yards.
Yeah, unnecessary yards that you're giving the teams.
You're evening the field with your calls because you're a referee and you're supposed to keep it an even field, right?
Yep, not determine the games.
Yep. So, and then going back into the pick'em with the new teams, or somewhat one new team in the Final Four, I've got Bills over Chiefs, and then I've got Commanders over Eagles, and then I've got the Commanders over the Bills. For the Super Bowl. Repeat of 1991 is what I'm going for.
As much as I want to pick the Commanders, I think this is where they fall. So I'm going to go Bills over Chiefs, Eagles over Commanders, and I'm sticking with the Bills winning the Super Bowl like I did the start of the playoffs. That was my team to win the Super Bowl. So
Bills, Commanders, Super Bowl. Oh, boy. New Orleans better watch out. They're about to have both the Bills.
I had Bills, Eagles.
I'm just saying, like, the whole city of New Orleans better watch out. They're going to have Bills Mafia and the Philadelphia Eagles fan bases down there.
That'll be a rowdy New Orleans.
Very, very rowdy.
Watch out, Bourbon Street.
Oh, watch out. Jeez.
Get the beads out.
They're coming for you, man. Oh, jeez. Yeah. All right. So that leads on to our upcoming week. Obviously, in the top five games to watch this coming week, I've got both the Washington Commanders, Philadelphia Eagles game, and then the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs game being my top two games to watch this week. So hopefully that gets me a 2 out of 5 going in here. My other three, I've got the number 21 Michigan Wolverines facing the number 11 Purdue Boilermakers down there in Purdue. That's happening on Friday, the 24th. I'd like to see how Area 51 does against the Purdue Boilermakers. Obviously, they've been struggling here recently, going into overtime against both Northwestern and winning, and then Minnesota and losing.
Buzzer beater half court shot.
They definitely need a good turnaround game and go down there into Purdue and win.
It's a tough game.
My number four game is the number 7 Houston Cougars going into Kansas, taking on the number 12 Kansas Jayhawks on Saturday, the 25th. My eyes are on the Kansas Jayhawks, how they handle the Cougars at home. I don't know if it's going to be like the SEC, but I feel like Kansas has a good home court advantage usually because they're one of those blue blood basketball teams that you always look forward to watch.
Tough to play there.
Yeah.
Still tough to play there.
And then at number 5, the number 6 Tennessee Volunteers are going into Auburn to take on the Tigers also on Saturday. My eyes are on the Tennessee Volunteers and how they handled that road visit. Obviously, they could have a turnaround game. I think it's tomorrow night or Thursday night. See here. And they play...
I think they play tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think they play Mississippi State. I could be wrong, though. If ESPN will work for me. ESPN doesn't want to work for me for some reason. That's great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do play Mississippi State.
But, yeah, so that's my five games to watch this week. That's my five.
Yeah, so we pretty much almost have the exact same five. I swear I did not even look at yours. I had Bills and Chiefs, same as yours. I had Eagles, Commanders, same as yours.
Oh, they're playing right now, Mississippi State, Tennessee.
There you go. So it was. We were right, Mississippi State. That still counts as your game. I also had Michigan and Purdue. Michigan's struggling, so it's going to be tough. But I also have Houston, Kansas, just like you. And my last one's a little bit different. I have the Red Wings and the Montreal Canadiens this weekend. Battle of the Wild Cards. So that's why I want this game. This is a big game for Detroit more than Montreal. It's both a big game because they're both fighting for the wild card spot right now.
Yeah.
Detroit can't get swept by Montreal. That'd be embarrassing. This would be a sweep. They've lost the last three against Montreal. They got to win this game.
Oh, geez.
So this will get me down to my gut prediction. So with the Bills and Chiefs, I had the Bills, like we talked about earlier. I had the Eagles over the Commanders. So those are my two. My third with the Michigan Purdue. My gut prediction is Purdue will take care of business at home against Michigan. They're struggling to shoot the ball unless they can come out and shoot lights out. It'd be a huge win for Michigan if they can pull that off. But I'm okay with this loss as long as they keep it close. I just don't think they're gonna pull this one off.
Yeah.
My number four was Houston, Kansas, and my gut prediction is Houston's going to beat Kansas. Kansas disappointed me this year. They had so much hype going into the season, and every time I want to pick them in these big games, they just keep getting embarrassed. I picked them last week with Kansas and Iowa State, and now you're playing Houston, and Houston's a great defensive team, good trap team. I think Houston beats Kansas, so that's my gut prediction there. And we kind of talked about earlier, I had the Red Wings and Canadians. For the reasons I stated, that they just can't get swept by them. It's a big game at home in Detroit. I think Detroit's going to pull that one off against Montreal.
I hear that. I'd like that. Yeah, so my three that I haven't already predicted, obviously, going over the first two, I picked the Commanders over the Eagles and the Bills over the Chiefs. With the Wolverines and the Boilermakers, I'm kind of agreeing with you. I'm going to take the Boilermakers over the Wolverines with my pick. Unfortunately, I would love to pick the Wolverines. Love to see them pull it off and somehow get a win down there in Purdue, but
it's got to be realistic.
Got to be realistic and got to pick the other guys for just picking reasons. And then, I'm kind of agreeing with you. I got the Houston Cougars over the Kansas Jayhawks, even though Kansas is at home. I feel like this is going to be good, close game, but Houston is just too strong, too good.
Houston's playing better basketball than Kansas right now.
Yeah, and then I've got Auburn over Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee can handle going into Auburn and winning, especially how good Auburn has been playing. I mean, both teams have been somewhat slumpy, but with Auburn being at home for that game, I just think Auburn takes care of things and beats Tennessee in that game.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
I like that.
All right. And so that takes us into fantasy focus. Kyle's got us doing a little bit here where we pick 12 QBs to be in the top 12 of your draft board.
Basically, what is your top 12 quarterbacks for the coming up year? We're not including rookies, obviously. But
I mean, honestly,
rookie quarterbacks don't fall into that.
I looked at your list and I can't change this list. Like I don't see anybody like because.
The top five is pretty easy.
The top five is the easiest.
The back half was harder for me to pick. I didn't know what order I liked it in.
Yeah. So yeah, I totally agree with you. Jackson, Allen, Burrow, Daniels. I'd put Mahomes up there in the five spot more than Hurts in my opinion.
You think he's gonna have a bounce back?
I believe so. Like they always have a good, you know, season usually when they have a down season right after.
Yeah.
especially for Mahomes, because like they could just reload and get him somebody to play like that. Like that's just the thing. They always go out and find somebody that's better.
And you'll get Rashee Rice back next week or next year.
Yep, and that's another plus for him. So yeah, and then obviously I agree with Hurts, Stroud, Baker, Love, Prescott, and Goff all being up there.
Surprised you didn't put Goff a little higher.
Well, the thing is like I want to put Goff higher, but like just the way that he played this past playoff game, just it kind of put me in a lull for him. If anybody other than Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott, I just see only two other guys being in there, which is Justin Herbstreit, because I could see him have. Or Herbert, sorry. Justin Herbert, which I can see having a great bounce back game.
They need to start throwing the ball more next year than
like
they
want. Like I feel like Jim Harbaugh can draw something up for this team. Like
He's got the talent.
Like he got them to go this far after having such an abysmal season the past season. Like they had like the one of the worst seasons that the LA Chargers have ever had. And to turn around and take them straight to the playoffs, I feel like they're just on a route to like keep going down that road of positivity.
Have to throw the ball more if he's going to get tied. He's got the talent to get in there.
And the only other one that I would put in here that might be of a surprise is Justin Fields.
Oh, you need to know where he's going to play.
And yeah, that's the thing. Is like I feel like he could get himself into a position to where he's playing and he's playing for a good team and playing really well. The thing that I have on my mind is I think he stays with the Steelers, and Russell Wilson is no longer with the Steelers. I think that's how Justin Fields actually stays with them. But if he does leave, the only teams I see him going to is either the Raiders or the Titans or possibly even the Browns. But I don't think he would want to go to Cleveland.
No, I don't think he'll go there. I could easily see him going to the Raiders or something like that.
Yeah.
New system. He is obviously the number one. I like it. That's kind of like a good wild card quarterback. So, yeah, my top 12 I have – like we said, the top four are kind of easily interchangeable. So I had Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels gets into that top five after the year he's had, and he's going to continue to do it. He's that kind of fantasy type quarterback. Five and six, I had Hurts and Stroud. I think Stroud is going to have that comeback year next year. He had an abysmal fantasy season this year. It was terrible. I think he only threw for over 300 yards twice all season. Terrible for fantasy. I mean, he had an okay year. He just did not have a good fantasy year, and I think he will bounce back next year. He had a lot of injuries, that wide receiver, and that really did hurt him near the end. So I think he bounces back. I have Mahomes next at, what would be the number eight, seven. Mahomes is my number seven. I do think he can have a bounce back year. He could easily jump back up in the higher one, like where you had him over Hurts, just because of his talent and the receivers that he's going to probably add in or draft. So it's a good spot there, and he could go higher. I got Baker next over my next three or four. I think Baker could – I don't think he's going to have as good a year this year. His touchdown rate was insane.
Well, he's always got all reliable on his team, Mike Evans. As long as he stays there, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he's staying there, so – yeah. It depends on whether Chris Godwin comes back, but so you also have some.
Oh yeah, that would definitely put a wrench into things if Godwin doesn't stay.
Exactly, and his touchdown rate was insane this year, so it will lower. But I think he can still produce at this top 12 type of level, so I like him there. Then after him, I had Jordan Love. I think they're going to have to start throwing up a little bit more than what they tried to do at the end of this past season, where they just wanted to run it nonstop. But I also think they're going to have to add another weapon or two. These receivers are young, and they get hurt a lot. So I think if they add another receiver, I think Jordan Love could produce to at least that top 12. He started the season this year as a top, I think, like eight quarterback. So I think he could produce to be that top 12.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just say that sounds very fair to give that to him.
Yeah. And then my next one, which would be number 9, I have Dak Prescott. He gets in my top 10. Actually, he's my number 10. Dak Prescott's my number 10. I think he has a bounce back year. I think it's kind of like make it or break it year for Dak. Like, they better make the playoffs because Dallas is going to get tired of him real quick. He's got the weapons to do it. I think they're going to draft another running back this year. And I could see Dak easily getting higher than the top 10, but I want him at least in my top 10 so I can put him in there. My number 11 and 12, I had Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff could easily just produce the same type of offense they did this year and continue it into next year. I know you're losing your offensive coordinator, but I think they're trying to hire within. So they're just going to hire, I think it was like the running backs coach or something like that to fill in and be the next OC. And if they just keep the similar system, Jared Goff will have no problem putting up numbers like he did this year. So other than that, I got Kyler Murray top of my number 12. Always produces early in fantasy season, and when Call of Duty comes out, usually is when his demise happens because he's a big-time Call of Duty fan. And as soon as Call of Duty comes out, he's just done for. So,
well, apparently he still produced after this year.
Yeah, he did this year. This was a freak year. He did produce after Call of Duty this year. He must not have liked it as much. So, he's gonna stay in my top 12. They got good young talent, and he'll be in there with mine.
To his point, he doesn't really like Treyarch. He's more of a Infinity Ward guy.
Yep. So yeah, he wasn't happy with
this Call of Duty this year. That's usually his Call of Duty is when Infinity Ward makes it.
Yep. So so that means he'll probably fall out of my top 12 next year since it's not Infinity War. So
yeah. So yeah, it'll be Infinity Ward this coming season.
Oh, so yeah, easily top 12 then.
Yep.
Keep him in there.
Yeah. Anyways, I had a good little tidbit to keep going with this QB topic that we've got going. The best rookie QB to get to a hot start, I think it's going to be Quinn Ewers.
You're saying to reach a top 12 or just be a good starter?
Like Jaden Daniels for this past season. Like, you know, we didn't really – I mean, like, if you –
It's tough.
If you told me Jaden Daniels was going to be this good coming into the draft, I probably would have agreed with you, but not to this degree. Like, I'd probably been like, yeah, he was really good with LSU and playing really well and producing and all that. But, yeah, like, the way that he played this season is just, like, lights out. Like, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I really think you only have maybe two choices that you could realistically maybe get into that top 12, and that would be Quinn Ewers and Shedeur Sanders. I think those are the only two that you could really see maybe sneak into that top level talent. But I don't see it personally, because out of the quarterbacks are going to be drafted this year, whether it's like Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders or Quinn Ewers, these quarterbacks aren't the talent Jaden Daniels is, as in running and throwing.
No, Jaden they're
Daniels
not.
Is an unbelievable runner, and all these quarterbacks that are coming out of this draft this year are more pocket quarterbacks. So that means you're going to have to throw three touchdowns, two touchdowns a game throwing, and it's going to be hard to do as a rookie. So I don't realistically see it happening. Maybe in a good system, I could see Shedeur doing it because he is athletic enough to run. So if I had to put money on it, I would say maybe Shedeur can get close to the top 12 this year if he gets to the right landing spot.
Okay. Yeah, so because the landing spots I got kind of on my notes is you got the Browns and the Titans, 1 and 2, both apparently going to draft the QB right off the bat.
Yep.
Apparently,
I like
it's going to be
spot better than Cleveland. I like a landing spot of Titans better than Cleveland. So
yeah, apparently it's got Cam Ward going to the Titans, and then
I forgot about Cam Ward. Cam Ward could drop in there too. I completely forgot about Cam Ward.
And then Shedeur going to Cleveland. Now the thing that, like I said earlier,
if that happened, I would take Ward as a possible jump to the top 12.
Yeah,
he has more weapons in Tennessee and a better system.
Yeah, and then to kind of top off what I said earlier is I see the Raiders needing a quarterback. So one of those four guys could end up in it it just depends on where Justin Fields goes at the end of the day. And then the Giants. I think the Giants need a quarterback, and then
they'll be drafting one. They'll be drafting one 100%.
And then the one and only team that's left is the Jets. I don't see Aaron Rodgers really playing this season. I think he's retiring. He could surprise all of us and just be like, "Yeah, I'm back. I'm gonna play one more season." But I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think he's done too. So yeah, that's another realistic landing spot.
So yeah,
to me, there's only a handful of top quarterback talents this year.
So I mean, yeah, you do have that.
I think you only have maybe four. Quinn, maybe five. You have Quinn Ewers, Shadur, Cam Ward, Jackson Dart.
I mean, I had the whole list up on ESPN.
That's the four off the top of my head. That's like those are top dogs. So
because that going to ESPN, going to NCAA Cam Ward football
be the first draft. Taken.
Let's see here, projected draft order.
Tell me, Davis Warren isn't going to be a quarterback drafted.
How did I get to it? Let's see here. Projections, I think. No.
No Davis Warren this year?
Hold on. I'm trying to figure out.
He can't multitask and listen.
Well, that's the thing. Is like I'm trying to figure out how I found this draft order.
Well, it doesn't really matter as much because I know it's the top four talent that we talked about with Cam Ward.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Shadur, Jackson Dart.
Yeah, because it was the Reed's QB hot board. All right, so QB hot board. Yeah, you got Cam Ward, Shadur, Jalen Milroe from Alabama, Dylan Gabriel, Quinn, Jackson Dart, Curtis Rourke from Indiana, Max Brosmer from Minnesota. Tyler Show from Louisville, and then
I actually liked him. I liked him better than the other guys.
And then Kyle McCord from Syracuse, and then Will Howard from.
Yeah, so realistically, you got like maybe four guys in there that are true elite top talents. So
that's just reading that top 10. I think that was 10.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough. The top
11, like, top 11 NFL.
It's going to be hard to come into
the NFL draft. Sorry.
It's going to be hard to have that Jane Daniels year with the talent that's coming out in their landing spot. So I don't personally see it. Maybe.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be like Jaden Daniels esque.
I'm just saying maybe who could slip into the top.
Yeah. Who could slip into being that surprise rookie quarterback this year? I mean,
if I had to say it.
Because every now and then we do get it. But like,
you do.
I just want to.
It depends on the landing spot, so I'm going to say with whoever lands in Tennessee, I think you have the best chance to do that. So it's looking like that'll be Cam Ward. So it looks like Cam Ward will be the top.
If I was Tennessee, I'd want to get Quinn. Quinn can produce in my mind.
Quinn,
I can see how Cam Ward talent. Can fit there.
Yes, he's a great talent, but Quinn Ewers also had a unbelievable team around him this year also in the last 2 years. So he's going to have to go to Tennessee with a not-so-great team around him. So I like Cam Ward just because he's got the same arm talent as Quinn Ewers, but he can run more. So, it'll be interesting. I know when we talk about running backs next week for our top 12, there is at least one rookie that'll at least make it into the top 12 running back list. So,
all right. Now, for some gambling men, time to gamble some money away. Put some money where our mouths are. I know, right? Bring our wallets out here. So I'm
on a cold streak.
I know we're kind of in a slump. So, due to a request upon a listener, trying to change things up a little bit. Draw up a three-leg parlay. Draw up a same-game parlay. Still do our top three player props of the week. And then do a don't bet on it segment still. So starting off with the three-leg parlay, obviously I went 3-2 last week with my top five picks. So that's going to either be 0-3 or 1-2 or 3-0 or 2-1 now. So hopefully I don't go 0-3.
Don't want to do that.
Do not want to do that. So we're gonna do this right. We're gonna take the Capitals money line over the Oilers. We're going to take the UNC Tar Heels money line over Wake Forest. And then we're going to take the Bills money line over the Chiefs.
Damn, you just straight up copied my three-leg parlay there almost.
Almost.
So I'll change it up a little bit because I wrote down five just in case, and I'm kind of like narrowing it down. So as you did that, I'm going to re-put in my other one. So,
well, the reason why I'm taking the Capitals money line over the Oilers is because of all the hoopla that's happened over there in Edmonton. I mean, they got Connor McDavid out for three games. And the Capitals are like a top-tier team in the East. I know it's in Edmonton, but with them missing their top guy, I don't think they can get it done.
Yeah, I like. So last week I was 3-2 on my five bets, and puts me at 20-13 overall. My first one, I do like yours. I like UNC Moneyline over Wake Forest just because I think you're going to get pretty good odds on that, and I do think UNC can handle Wake. I think they kind of have to at this point.
One thing to put on top of that for you, just a little tidbit, is Wake right now is on a six-game winning streak, and Carolina is looking for a bounce-back game.
That's what I'm saying. UNC needs a bounce-back game, and I think they have the talent to beat them, so I do think UNC will take Wake, and you'll get decent money on that for just a straight-up money line pick. So I'll pick that. I also liked the Bills' money line over Chiefs. I think you will also get favorable odds on that. So I'll take the Bills' money line. And then the one – so I could do the Bills' money line, but I'll do the Commanders plus 6.5 because I do think this game is going to be close and a potential upset. So I will take Commanders plus 6.5. My honorable mention one that I took off is to take the Michigan plus spread against Purdue this weekend.
Ooh, I like that.
That one feels safe because of Michigan. All of their losses are within 3 points. So they're going to lose. They're going to lose close. If they give you a plus like 6, plus 7, I would probably smash that plus on that one, that plus spread. I like it.
All right, we can put that in there since we've taken away the five. We can do our.
I'll put in four, and you just choose three that you like.
Honorable mention. No, we're gonna do that. We'll do an honorable mention part of this segment now. We'll do a Kyle's and then Alex's honorable mention, and I'll find an honorable mention for next week. How's that?
Yeah, that's fair. I still write down five, and then you just choose your three-leg parlay you like. These are the five that I like.
Okay, and then I got to choose three out of those five. I mean, I like to.
We can still keep it this way. Like I still chose. Yeah. I went ahead and did five, and I just erased two of them.
Okay, but
yeah, we're good. So yeah, I have you UNC money line, Bills money line, Commanders plus 6.5. Honorable mention: if you want to get froggy with it, go with the Michigan plus spread against Purdue.
All right. And then same game parlay. So I'm going with the Washington-Philadelphia game. I am riding on the back of the Commanders and taking their money line, plus 230 right now. And then a McLaren, Scary Terry, anytime TD, Scary Terry, anytime TD for plus 140 right now. So, yeah.
I like that. I was actually going to do that one, too, whenever – we were doing our same game parlays, but I noticed you were doing the Washington game, so I switched it up. So my same game parlay, was that your slip that you did?
Yep, that was my slip I did.
So my slip for the same game parlay, I chose the Chiefs and the Bills. So I am taking Bills minus 2.5. And then for both quarterback stacks, because the last time these two teams played in the playoffs, it was an unbelievable, crazy throw-it-around game, and they both threw for like four touchdowns. So I'm going to take both quarterbacks to throw for over 1.5 touchdowns. So take both of them over basically two or more touchdowns, and then I'm taking the Bills minus 2.5 on top of it.
Nice. All right. Now, top three player props of the week. I'm pretty sure you've got those same ones, right? I've got something different for my.
I had already put those down before you wanted to do the same game parlay. I was like, well, I mean, I might as well just keep them there. So those are. Yeah, I'll just do mine real quick. So, yeah, my top player props. I went 2-1 last week, 11-7 overall now. So, yeah, Mahomes and Josh Allen, both to throw for two or more touchdown passes. And my other one will be a Saquon Barkley anytime touchdown.
Nice. Yeah, so I'm doing my top three player props of the week. Obviously, I'm kind of agreeing with you with the Josh Allen, but I'm taking the anytime TD. Like, he's got to run it in. Like, he got to run it into the touchdown.
I do like that one, and I do like that one. You'll get better odds on that.
Yeah, and then I'm taking an OV anytime score. Obviously, it's going to go along with the game with them playing against the Oilers that I talked about earlier. But I already took a same game parlay with the Washington Philadelphia game, and then I'm taking a Larkin anytime score this week against the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, I feel like he's gonna do it.
Power play,
yeah,
so.
He's gonna do it. So
I like that. I like that. It's a good one to choose on the Red Wings. Him or DeBrincat, I feel like, are always scoring. So.
Yep, and so my don't bet on it right now is Tennessee Volunteers, which is probably not doing too hot since they're beating the Mississippi State Bulldogs right now. But with them facing the Auburn Tigers, I'd just say don't bet on them in that game. And then don't bet on Wake Forest this week at all. I mean, they're playing Chapel Hill, and then they're playing Duke on Saturday. So,
yeah.
Two very
0-2 after a 6-win streak.
Two very hard home games at home. They're here in Winston-Salem. Both of them.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. So, yeah, my don't bet on it. I have do not bet on the over-under of either NFL game. I don't like where the total points is. Well, they at least right now. I think they're both at 47.5. And that is almost like your dead split area that you don't like to bet on your over-unders, because now obviously it's a flip of a coin either way, but that's pushing it right there with a very close over-under on total points. Those are hard to bet on when they get that close. If it was like down to like 42, maybe, you can easily bet maybe you're over on that. Or if it's in the 50s, closer to 50s, you can bet your under. But yeah, 47 is kind of tough. So don't bet the over-unders. I don't like the Houston versus Kansas total points. Houston plays unbelievable defense, and if I had to guess, they're probably going to put the points at like 149, somewhere in there. I know Houston can score points, but Kansas can score points. Houston's defense is too good to allow this 80-80 type game, so I'm not even going to worry about trying to touch that point total. And then my last one, James Cook's rushing yards. I was kind of wrong on the last one, but I was kind of right. The Chiefs have a really good run defense, and it's at Kansas City, so I don't expect the Bills to be able to run the ball very well, and it's going on to my player prop with Josh Allen throwing the ball more. So I'm not going to touch the James Cook rushing yards.
Okay, I like that. All right. That leads us into our homeward bound part of this episode. Well, as said earlier, Lions are out. They lose their OC to the Bears.
And you're about to lose your DC also.
Da Bears. Yeah, I don't know where he's going to go. My prediction was he was going to go to the Jets, but I don't know about that anymore since the Jets GM said they don't want him.
He might go to the Raiders.
So, yeah, he might go to the Raiders. He might go to Jacksonville. He might go to New Orleans. Who knows?
Good landing spots. I like those last two landing spots. It'll be good for him.
So
now you gotta be happy. I mean, yeah, obviously you didn't get your end goal. Lions had an awesome season. To me, you guys are still in it for the long haul right now. Like you're getting all your defense back next year and healthy. So your defense is only going to be better by a landslide next year. And you're still pretty much have your same offensive players. So I'm still comfortable with Detroit.
Okay, I let you have your moment. I wrote something. All right. You ready for this? All right. Dear fellow Lions fans, let me remind you of one team that won a conference championship three times in a row before they won the whole thing. It took them 3 years to go 15-0 and win it all. Yes, it's called a conference championship, but you can almost draw it up to being the same thing as a divisional championship. So if the Detroit Lions become Kings of the North one more time, I believe that they can do it in the third year of them winning the NFC North.
I like it.
Michigan Wolverines going 15-0 and winning the college football playoff championship.
I mean, by no means are they going to go undefeated. They're not going to go undefeated.
But I'm just saying, things come in threes. Good things come in threes.
They don't have to win the NFC North.
They don't odds have are, to.
I think the year they're going to win the Super Bowl is the year they're not going to win the NFC North. It's hard to have that pressure on you to be top dog and then do it in the playoffs. It's hard to do. And the easiest way to do it is to be the underdog going into the playoffs and then just riding it through. But you guys have talent. You guys have so much talent.
Look at the Commanders.
I don't see any fall off. So, I think you guys will be fine. You guys will be good for the next 8-9 years as long as you keep drafting well. So, yeah, I like it. I mean, it sucks you guys are out, but.
I mean,
You have a good future.
I think 7th round picks. Because I saw a post today by the Lions Instagram of where our picks are. And I think we got 2 or 3.
I mean, 7th round's a 7th round. That's not.
Yeah, crazy so. To be excited about, but. So, yeah, we got 1 first, 1 second. Got a 4th, a 6th, and then 2 6th rounds, or 7th rounds. Our 6th round is from Tampa Bay, and then one of our 7ths is from Dallas.
Yeah, so you just got to do something with your 1st, 2nd, and 4th round pick.
Yep.
What would you like to see them take?
Defense, I guess. I mean, just because we were so abysmal.
You got receivers, you got tight ends, you got offensive linemen, you got a quarterback. Got running backs.
Yeah.
I'd probably say, a good – whatever at that spot is the best if it's a player on the board. You take them.
Yeah. I'd just say just go for the defense, honestly, at this point.
Whether it's a defensive tackle, linebacker, cornerback, safety, just take whoever's the best on the board at that time of that draft. But, no, you guys will look fine. I think you guys are fine.
All right. And then talking a little bit about the Deacs earlier, heading into a big rivalry week, taking on – Chapel Hill, Tar Heels, and then the Duke Blue Devils.
It was great for Michigan having Wake Forest go on this little run here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Their resume is looking better with Wake Forest balling out and then Xavier beating Marquette. It's helping Michigan, especially after a loss. So, Wake Forest looks good. NC State, not so much. They're just kind of falling apart. I was just at the last game against Cal.
Yep, I saw that.
It was not a very pleasant game, but they gotta do something. They're kind of just falling apart right now, so it might be Kevin Keats is done here at the end of the year.
Oh boy,
to me he would have been fired last year if they didn't make their run. So
that's what a lot of people were saying last year. Definitely on the hot seat, that's for sure.
If I don't think he'll be on the hot seat as long as they have a decent year, but if they just straight up fold this year, it's hard to not keep him. So, and then we got Michigan basketball. Like we talked about earlier, it had a weird week.
Yeah, they just need to take care of the ball. I just saw too many turnovers every time I looked at it. It seemed like it was a turnover.
God, I've watched every second of every Michigan basketball game this year. Weirdly, the last two games, for as bad as they played, was two of their better turnover ratio games. They only turned the ball over 12 and 13 times both games, and that's actually a really good game for Michigan at standard. They've been averaging those 18 turnovers, so it was actually okay turnover-wise if their shooting percentage fell off the map. Minnesota and Northwestern, they were shooting 10% from three both games and then 30% from the field. Michigan going into those two games was the number one team in the entire country on shooting percentage. They were shooting 58%.
Oh, wow.
And they were down to 35-40% against Minnesota and Northwestern. And it showed. They struggled heavily on shooting. And then the turnovers, like you said, turnovers came into play. It was weird that they got that Minnesota loss and only dropped in the rankings one. I think they went down to 21 this week. So it was kind of weird, but I think if they can kind of level out their shooting.
Well, it's because they knew that they were having the Purdue game coming up. They wanted to give them a chance to
redeem themselves.
Yeah. And if Purdue wins, Purdue's got a ranked win on their resume to boost them up.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough game. I think if Michigan can get their shooting back together, I think that I'm not worried about playing on the road because they just proved that they can play on the road and win on the road. They beat Indiana. They've beaten UCLA all on the road. It's more on the lines of they got to control their turnovers going into Purdue and get their shooting percentage back up. Play a little bit faster. The Northwestern Minnesota games, they played way too slow to my liking. Like they weren't running up the court like they had been the whole season. They were just kind of like very slow coming up the court, stopping and running plays. Like I liked it when they were moving quick, and they weren't doing that against Northwestern Minnesota. So I think, yeah, get back to that high-paced offense. Shoot the ball a little bit better and control your turnovers, and I don't think they'll have a problem against Purdue.
All right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, like, it was just a whole thing for them. Take care of the ball and make sure the lid's off the hoop.
Yep.
Get that percentage up. Yeah, all right.
Throwing a little honorable bench for Michigan. The Michigan hockey team beat the number one ranked Michigan State hockey team this past week.
Oh, yeah, that definitely happened. And they got 10 games left, 10 games left in the regular season.
Yep, little bro doing things.
Yep, they got the battle in the D still left, and they got 4 home games and 5 away games.
Yep.
So hopefully they can turn that into a positive and keep it going. Speaking of hockey, got the Red Wings, not the worst road trip so far. They're ending it today with facing the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, that's what I put. I mean, it could have been better, but it could have been worse. They beat the Florida Panthers, so that there's that.
Yeah.
I'd have liked to at least lose in overtime on one of those two other games to at least snag a point, but I mean, I think if they lose to Philly tonight, it is a bad road trip, even though you won one game. Like, not to get another point out of the next 3 kind of hurts. So
yeah,
they're losing 1-0 right now. They need to have a strong third period. But I think if they can come out with at least one more point, so you take 3 points on that 4-game road trip, I'm okay with that. Those are tough teams.
They are. They all are. I mean, especially with the Philadelphia Flyers having what's his name? The Rangers' old coach as their new coach.
Oh, Tortellini.
Yeah, Tortellini. Tortellini as their coach, like that's seeing that guy on the opposite bench kind of scares me.
Yeah.
So
he's and a good then, coach. Yeah.
Honestly, the Canes. The Canes are just keeping things rolling.
Yep, same thing. We don't need to talk about the Canes. They're winning.
They're good. They're fine.
They're good. Top team. They're gonna be a top seeded team. Again, don't worry. Like I say,
don't worry, Matt. You'll be back in the playoffs.
Yep, I'd like to see them add another player. Maybe even add a goalie. Like, I feel like the goalie might be their weakness right now.
I mean, he's always been their weakness. Like, that's been the whole thing this past season.
Freddie was so good for him, but he just is always hurt. So, I don't know. If you can somehow snag a really top forward, top goal scorer, or get yourself another top D. It's hard to get goalies at this time of year, so especially in the trade block. But I can see them maybe adding another superstar forward or at least a power play specialist.
Yeah, that'll definitely help them out, that's for sure. All right, and that wraps up this episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Next week, we'll look back on how we did on our top 5 games of what we picked compared to the week's actual top 5 games and see if we made more. Yeah, we can always do better no matter what. See if we made more gambling money or if we didn't. Yep, Alex Bauer.
I'm Tyler Davis.
Y'all have a good rest of your day.
And we'll see
have a good night. Yep. See y'all next week.
Bam.
All right.
Right. Bam. Right at an hour. Perfect.
Yep. Oh my gosh. No, stop. I did not mean to play you again.